Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, Florida, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is John Pereira, pastor of Central Florida Bible Church. You may wish to have paper and pencil handy for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. Now, here's Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Thank you so much for turning into our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. I so appreciate our Strength for Today listeners. The month of November is going to be Listeners Month. We really appreciate the emails and correspondence that we have received. And if this program is a blessing to you, I would encourage you to contact us at the information provided at the end of our broadcast. Our topic today is going to be seven principles for obtaining the blessings of God. I could tell you that as a husband, a father, a son, a pastor, a counselor, and also a representative of Christ, as a believer, an ambassador for Christ, I really need the blessing of God in my life. I don't believe I could take one step forward if I did not believe in my heart that I had the blessing and the leadership of the Spirit of God in my heart. And it's something that I search and seek for diligently in my life. And we're going to be looking at seven principles that will help you find the blessing of God in your life. The first principle that we're going to be looking at is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And that is total surrender of your life to God. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the believers at Rome, these were people who had already received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He admonished them towards total surrender of their life to God. Many of them were placing themselves in the mold of the world. Being satisfied of their salvation, they thought that they could just coast along and be part of the world system. And to them the Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Word of God admonishes us that we are to present our lives daily unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be a living sacrifice, not as the sacrifice of the Old Testament, but a living, vibrant sacrifice, free to serve and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone once said the problem with living sacrifices is that they have a tendency to crawl off of the altar. Has that been true in your life? I know it's been true in my life. And it's a daily dying to self and yielding myself to Jesus Christ. The word present is exactly that, yield. It means give the other one first place in your life. A committee of ministers were discussing having D.L. Moody at a citywide crusade. One young minister said, "Why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" An old godly minister spoke up, "No, he doesn't have a monopoly of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly of D.L. Moody." Truly, D.L. Moody was a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you totally surrendered your life to God? Are you in a place where God can bless you? The second mark for obtaining the blessing of God is this. Number two, obey all that you know to be God's will. As you read God's Word, you'll find areas that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart about. I think, for instance, of the matter of church attendance. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much as you see the day approaching." What about this matter of your faithfulness in the house of the Lord? Someone once said that as many coals burn together and generate heat one from another, if you take a pair of barbecue tongs and lift one coal and put it far apart all by itself, its fire will soon go out. Oh, how many times have I seen believers in Christ absent themselves from the fellowship of God's people, the joint worship of gathering together, the mutual accountability of being in the house of the Lord, and soon their warmth begins to grow cold and they lose their first love. And it oftentimes begins with missing out on the evening service. Sad to say, how many churches are giving up on evening, Sunday evening services today. You see many midweek prayer services going by the wayside. Oh no, it's not that we have a chapter and verse for the number of times that we ought to meet, but the point is your spiritual diet of gathering together what it really needs to be to help you in your growth for the Lord. I think of the matter of baptism. Jesus, speaking to believers, mentioned that once they had received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they should follow the Lord in believers' baptism. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And isn't it interesting that even in the minds of unbelievers, the mark of stepping out and burning your bridges behind you is whether or not you followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Oftentimes, individuals of other world faith religions, oh, they'll hear individuals talk about receiving Christ, but it's that point when that person burns the bridges behind them and identifies publicly in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as a sign of their salvation. Oftentimes, it's at that point that believers are ostracized from their families and friends and their loved ones. Could it be that the reason why some, even listening here today, you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, which I believe is by immersion, following the Lord, identifying publicly with Him? Don't be a secret agent Christian. Baptism is one of the local church ordinances, along with the Lord's table, which is a mark, a sign, a testimony of your belief in what Jesus has done for you. Then the Word of God tells us that we ought to be faithful in witnessing. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, in many, many believers' lives, the Great Commission is the great omission. The word gospel begins with the first two letters, go. May we go and tell others, give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the element of being obedient to the Lord in tithing. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me here now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you, that there shall be not room enough to receive it." You know, I believe that the Word of God says we ought to give God the first fruit of our substance. Tithing was practiced before the establishment of the Mosaic Law. It was instituted and established by Abraham and by Jacob and others before the establishment of the Mosaic Law. And in the New Testament, the Word of God teaches the grace of giving. I believe that the tithe for the believer under grace in the New Testament is just the threshold for Christian giving. And no man can outgive God. In what I believe to be a transdispensational principle, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Isn't it interesting that this passage on giving follows the well-known promise of God's Word found in verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Yes, we ought to obey all that we know to be God's will. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15 and verse 16, we're told about the obedience and the necessity of being in the Word of God. Listen to the testimony of Jeremiah about his hunger and thirst for God's Word. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Here we have the word discovered. Thy words were found. Do you begin the day in the Word of God for the joy of personal discovery? Then you have the word not only discovered, but the word digested, because it says, "I did eat them." Do you digest the Word of God? Do you assimilate it into your body, meditate upon it throughout the day so that the Spirit of God would lead you in your decisions and in your actions? Then you have the Word displayed in the actions and conduct of your life. And it says, "Thy Word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." So the first two principles for obtaining the blessings of God are total surrender of your life to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then secondly, obey all that you know to be God's will. God will bless you. Number three, practice the prompt confession of sin. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Word of God exhorts us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to practice what many call spiritual breathing. When we exhale, that is used air. It's carbon dioxide. Plants love it, but it's not very good for us. It's been air that has been used and disposed of, and we're exhaling it. But then we cannot be in a position of continual exhaling. On the contrary, we then inhale. And when we inhale, we take in fresh oxygen that is carried throughout our bodies by the red blood cells in our blood and carried to all of the cells of our body, life-giving oxygen. And yet the Word of God says when we breathe, we ought to practice the spiritual breathing, exhaling confession of sin, inhaling, taking in the promises of God, being sensitive to the Spirit of God. The fourth principle for obtaining the blessing of God is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. And that principle is dealing with unhindered personal relationships. Examine your personal relationships with others in the body of Christ. In Matthew 5 and verse 23, God's Word says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Here the Word of God is exhorting us that reconciliation takes precedence over sacrifice. Examine your family relationship. Is there bitterness and anger and division in your family? Examine your relationship with your in-laws, your friends, other believers in local churches. Nothing can short-circuit the Spirit of God more than this in a local church. As a matter of fact, when we see how much the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us, how can we fail to forgive our brothers? The fifth principle for obtaining the blessing of God is to seek daily to be filled with the Spirit of God. Seek daily to be filled with the Spirit of God. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 18, God's Word says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And this is, notice, a command. It's not optional. The phrase, "be filled with the Spirit," is in the imperative mood. In other words, it's a command. It's not optional. It's also in the present tense, which speaks that we need daily to see to it that we are controlled by the Spirit of God. It's also in the active voice, which means that we are the ones that have the responsibility to seek it and to draw near to God that He might draw near to us. And the results of being filled with the Spirit follow in verses 19 through 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. And the results are indicated by three participles in the original language. First of all, in verse 19, speaking. In verse 20, giving thanks. In verse 21, submitting yourselves. You see, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to be joyful Christians, not miserable Christians. We're going to have a contagious joyfulness about us. And we're going to be a magnet to others to ask the question, what do you have that makes you such a joyful person? Here the Word of God says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, that's a joyful Christian. Then, as believers, a second mark of being filled with the Spirit is found in verse 20, giving thanks, being a thankful Christian. Notice it says, giving thanks always. Now, you can be thankful for something, but the phrase giving thanks speaks of an act of the will. Being thankful is oftentimes the response that we give for receiving things that we perceive that are good in our sight. But giving thanks is an expression of the will, and oftentimes it includes an expression of the will in response by faith, giving thanks to God even for the trials that we don't understand that may come our way. Giving thanks always, not just when we understand it or when we agree with it, but always, for all things, even the trials and the testings. Notice, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's given us the promise, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. All seek to be daily filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The sixth principle for obtaining the blessings of God is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, and that is, know and exercise your spiritual gift. and spiritual gifts are God-given abilities to function in the body of Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, they're not natural talents, but they are spiritual gifts that are enumerated for us in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and also Ephesians chapter 4. And the Word of God says in verse 10 of 1 Peter 4, as every man has received the gift. You see, every believer has received at least one spiritual gift, oftentimes many. But it says, even so minister the same one to another. You see, we are to be our brother's keeper. We have been given gifts to help other people. And this is why the Lord established the local church, because it's in giving that we grow stronger. I'm wondering how many listening to my voice today are not growing because they're not giving. It says, minister the same one to another as good stewards. A steward was a house manager, someone who had been entrusted with the goods of his master, who then goes on a journey, but who someday will return. And we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We've been stewards. We are stewards, managers of that gift that God has given to us. Let's be faithful in the exercise and also in the development of those gifts, because they're all the manifold grace of God. The seventh principle and the final principle for obtaining the blessings of God is to discipline yourself. Discipline yourself to keep on doing right habitually. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes to the believers at Galatia, and he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There may be some listening to my voice today that are ready to quit. You're tired of doing right. It seems that everyone else is going in the other direction, and it seems like you're not prospering by following the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing. Consider Him. Consider Jesus Christ, who walked before you, who was able to say that He had finished the work that God had given Him to do. Dr. Bob Jones, back in 1957, in a chapel message in the month of February, not that I was there, I was only a seven-year-old boy at the time, but he delivered a powerful message entitled, Do Right, Though the Stars Fall. And that's a well-known message that needs to be proclaimed today. Keep on doing right. Don't quit. Keep on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on. You need the blessing of God in your life. For some of you listening to my voice today, how can you receive the blessing of God if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You need to come to the place where you realize that you're a lost sinner before a holy God. It does not matter what denomination or religion you belong to. All of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags before an all-holy God. And if there had been any way that you could save yourself by your merits, by your good works, by your religious deeds, God never would have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. But God sent His Son because He knew there was no other way. There was only one person who could meet the righteous standard of God, and that was one who was God Himself, Jesus Christ, the righteous, sinless Lamb of God without spot. And Jesus Christ came in the form of the flesh, and He assumed a body that would be the vehicle through which He would suffer and die and shed His blood on the cross, taking your sins upon Himself, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Him. But first you must repent of your sins. See your sins as condemning you before an all-holy God, bound for an eternal hell. And yet you must look to Jesus Christ, your only hope. Repent of your sins and call upon Him to save you. He who died and bore your sins, who was buried and rose again the third day, and promises to return to take His church, His bride away at an event called the rapture. You want to be ready. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where the first step of His blessing is found, to first be born again into the family of God. If you'll bow your head this moment, close your eyes, and in faith believing, make my prayer yours today. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. I receive you as personal Savior. Come into my heart. I want to turn from my sin and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you, my beloved. Contact us. We'd love to send you some materials that will help you to get started right. And be assured, the best is yet to come.
Thank you for listening to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, Florida, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. You may also call Pastor John at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 o'clock and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.